Hey everybody, welcome to Matt Man, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the one, the only, the original Hot Boy Blimp.
Hot Boy Blimp.
I, you know,
you ever eat Blimpies when you were a kid?
I ate Blimpies.
Blimpies
when I
was a kid. The fucking best.
It really was, and it got really bad, like Quiznos.
Yeah.
Do you know why Quiznos failed?
Why?
They scammed all their franchisees into essentially becoming managers.
Okay.
And they bought back all the franchises, for, like, forcefully. And nobody wanted to run the businesses, so they just changed all of them to, like, different shops.
I forgot what was the Quiznos gimmick.
Those weird, defected little animals. You remember that?
No. Like, because
they were a hot Subway.
Right, they were a hot Subway.
Yeah, they were a hot Subway. Yeah, hot welcome to Sandwich Talk. I'm Andrew Zarin.
Hot Subway.
This is Matt Men, a show all about professional wrestling and everything else that we decide to talk about. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not about wrestling, but mostly it is. Man, what a wild week.
Yeah, dude.
I am really, really tired between my day job and this and everything else that I do. Very tired.
Yeah.
I know we had a big Wednesday.
Huge Wednesday.
Which we'll talk about. There's also a ton of news to get into. We broke the story about a secondary AEW title being added soon, most likely when they go to TBS. We'll go into that. The Owen Hart news. American Gladiators reboot, by the way, which is kind of what we were talking about. On this MGM partnership, which is very interesting.
Very strange, yeah.
Very strange, and a whole lot more. Rich.
Yes, sir.
How was your week?
It was good. I really, really want to talk about the show on Wednesday.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Dude, it was fantastic. It was a great show. Yeah. I left early.
Yeah. You really left. Like, I left.
So I had a big meeting on Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Outside of the wrestling stuff. And I realized that I had done virtually nothing for it.
Yeah.
What is going on our
Sorry.
TV right now?
Sorry, I distracted you.
Oh my God, that is very distracting. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to say what it is, but that is beyond distracting. I would call the one all the way on the right side a relic.
100%.
Okay, thank you. So, you know, I left like 9:40. So I didn't stay for Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed for most of the show, but I had to leave to get this stuff done.
Yeah.
You were there, obviously. Our buddy Kyle was there.
God.
My buddy Jay was there. Yeah. We brought Uncle Bob with us.
Did he have fun?
Uncle Bob had a lot of fun.
Did he leave before you?
No. He would have stayed, but I feel like I dragged him out of there because I was like, hey, I'm leaving. Yeah. Do you want to come with us? And he was like, yeah, let's just all leave.
So this is how fakakta the situation was in a weird way.
Okay.
So I was there. I was hanging out with Kyle, his buddy Cal, and Kyle's girl Blaze, right?
Oh, she came too.
Yes. But
I didn't meet her.
So they were all separated in the arena, right?
Okay.
It was my job to drive everybody back home, you know?
I didn't know that.
So it was like, all right, we got to meet here at the end of the show. We'll go back to my car and I'll take everybody home. When you left, I was on a texting rampage because they were not checking tickets anywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Dude, they came from the top of the rafters to like the seats that you, Jess, and Bob had.
Yeah.
And I had them and it worked out.
That's great.
Because I'm like, great. Yeah. We can all go home together.
You know?
I also was like falling asleep on Kyle because the show was a very long
It was a very long show. So I didn't know you drove at all.
I drove. I parked at the Skyview Mall and then we walked. Smart.
$14. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it. So I guess, let's go into it, right? Let's go into that show a little bit.
Yeah, please.
I think that was a big story last week. 20,177 officially announced for Arthur Ashe.
Yeah.
Quite possibly, I got to double check the numbers, but within 100 or so people, this probably most likely is the most attended professional wrestling show in a New York City venue since 1980.
Jesus, man.
The other one would have been 36,000 held at Shea Stadium for the Showdown at Shea, which they used to run those, you know, in the early 80s and 70s.
Mm-hmm. I got a question for you. Did you leave or did you get kicked out?
Where?
From Arthur Ashe. Because you can't, you came down the stairs and you were like, more like Arthur Trash.
Yeah, and they threw me right
out. And then they were like, sir, you got to stop that. And you were like, you throw me out of Arthur Trash?
My wife just sent me a message. Uh-huh. And she circled a comment I left on a... she circled a comment I left on her friend's post from 7 years ago. She goes, this will come up when you run for office.
Oh, boy.
I refuse to ride the subway with these commoners. Pure filth, if you ask me.
I was getting messages about how terrible the waiting for the train was, waiting for LIRR so was that, getting that,
that's
out of
what
the
I,
venue.
Yeah, that's what we should get into. So, yeah.
Hysterical.
So I put out a tweet sometime during a week, and mm-hmm. I should have done this months ago.
Yeah.
Warning people how to book a hotel here, right? We live in New York City.
Yeah.
Queens is part of New York City. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of education and explain why some of this was a disaster for a lot of these guys.
Teach them.
So I think everybody assumes all of New York is like Manhattan, all mm-hmm. of New York City. Like, it's just buildings and cabs and cars and restaurants and everything, right? So you got that in Queens, you got that in Brooklyn, you got that from most of it, but where we are in Queens, we're the most northeastern part of Queens,
yes.
right? It's more suburbia than anything else. Flushing, however, is one of the largest Chinatowns in the country. Our Chinatown, which in Flushing, is huge.
It's gigantic, yeah.
Gigantic. So,
and that's not a disparaging term.
It's not, not disparaging at all. It's very different than what people expected.
Mm-hmm.
So these hotels are not the highest of quality hotels in Flushing. It's more industrial.
Oh yeah,
where the park is. So you're not getting, and it's airport. It's either you're going to get like an airport hotel.
Yeah,
or you're going to get like an hourly hotel.
Like a dirty.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these guys that book trying to get as close to the arena as possible. Mm-mm. And they book some dirty ass hotels.
It's not. I'm going to piggyback on that by saying in Chicago at the Schaumburg area, it's not like, oh, the Marriott is right next to the venue. It's a 10-minute walk and it's a beautiful hotel.
Yeah.
Like, no, there is. It's all gross.
It's all great.
Listen, I grew up in Flushing.
I know. You still live in Flushing.
I still live in Flushing. Yeah. It's great, but you really have to know how to navigate.
You really do.
Between you know what F's it up? It's the 7 train. And the parkway are parallel to each other.
Yeah.
So that area where the stadiums are and
It's also on swamp. It's swamp right. land.
And where Flushing Meadow Park is with the Unisphere, that area is impossible. Because on one end you have the Grand Central. On the other end you have the Van Wyck. And it splits into a weird thing.
Yeah.
You know? What we did, we parked on Main Street in downtown Flushing, left my car there. It was $14. We walked a half a mile. And you know what? No traffic. Just got my car and left.
I took the Long Island Railroad.
But you got out early, so you missed.
So what? Because I knew it would be a shit show, mm-hmm. right? Because it's a lot of people that came from out of state.
Yeah.
And they came out of the city. And they really don't know this part of Queens.
Right.
There is a certain way to escape. If you
need to go. Escape from New York.
You're going to have a very difficult time calling a taxi. There are no taxis, right? And you can't walk. You got to walk to Main Street to get anything, and it's a total disaster there. So what I did, I left at 9:40.
Yeah.
I was home by 10. Before 10, I was home.
Wow.
Like 9:50 something.
So you caught the train.
I caught the train.
Yeah, okay.
Perfect. And I missed the disaster. However, I got to tell you, beautiful building.
Yeah.
First real event at Arthur Ashe outside of tennis. They held a WNBA event in 2009-ish. They've also done some kids stuff, but everything they've eventually done in that pretty much done in that building has been associated with the USTA. We broke this down a while ago. The city owns the property and they lease it to the United States Tennis Association for a dollar, but they got to pay the taxes on it.
Uh-huh.
However, they can't run everything in the park.
Right, right.
So they were very unprepared. Levy, I think Levy is the group that manages the concessions.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me, they were very unprepared for this. They did not anticipate the demand for food and drinks. People were waiting on concession lines for an hour long. People missed that first match. People missed the main event. It was really bad. I know that was a major concern for everybody after the fact, and they have... I don't expect it to happen ever again in that building.
I agree with you. I talked to a couple of people from the concessions who were just like hanging out, and I was like, what do you guys think? And they were like, this is nothing like tennis. This is a mob that we can't deal with. And also, this is my own two cents over here. If you guys have ever been to Comic-Con, and you know how like on Thursday, on your Comic-Con, and you know how on Thursday it's like pristine and beautiful, mm-hmm. and then 20 minutes in, it's just a gross, unflushed toilet. That's what happened to Arthur Ashe. It totally got Comic-Con'd. And then like, you know, you go into this beautiful building, and then about an hour later, it smelled like all the human funk
you could think of. Food and sweat.
Food, sweat, BO, farts, you know, like more food. Like everything got like real funky in that venue. And it's a huge, huge venue too.
Yeah. So it was a really, they put on a really good show. We'll now, you know, a lot of complaints about it. I know getting back to the hotels were a disaster. But listen, you're putting 20,000 people in a building that normally caters to a very specific group.
Yeah.
That maybe is a little less rowdy, because I've gone to the U.S. I go every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that it works, they're busy, right? They're busy throughout the entire thing, but the facility has hundreds of people working.
Yeah.
And it's more of an early crowd. It's an older crowd.
Yeah.
It's not a party environment.
Right.
And this was more like you're going to a rock concert at a library.
Yeah.
At a church. Yeah, essentially, that's what it was. You're going to a rock concert at a church with the church staff running the rock concert.
That's a good way to put it. But also, like, this does not take away from how amazing the show was.
Yeah, the show was great.
It was just like, it was kind of like, wow, like, we know how it is. You know, like, but they weren't prepared for it, which is fine. I'm sure the next time they run this venue or another venue, it's going to be a lot different, you know? Citi Field, I think, would be a fantastic place for AEW to run.
Citi Field?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting you say that.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it would be a great place for them to run, especially because they know how to do concessions properly.
Well, especially in the summer?
Summertime.
Well, no, you can't do summertime. Well, you can, actually.
You can. When the Mets are away, you can.
You can. When they do that right around the All-Star break, right? Mm-hmm. That 10-day stretch?
Yeah.
You could definitely, that is the window of opportunity. They could hold 40 easy. Listen, do you think, here's a question for you, and then we're going to go into this, and I think this is a great question. By the way, we have a ton of news I got to talk about, and of course your questions, but little Saturday morning, a little slower show today. Mm-hmm. I like a Saturday morning show. Here's a question for you. How many more people do you think they could have fit in that building? If they did Citi Field, how many do you think they could fit, realistically?
I think realistically, they would be close to max capacity.
You think so?
I think so, dude. Like, this is...
I would say 35.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. I would say 35.
That's close to max capacity. I think Arthur Ashe is a good litmus test, especially because, like, I've never been to Arthur Ashe. I think 90% of the people there have never been.
No. Yeah, but, absolutely right.
But they were like, hey, I could take the train, I could park, I could take the railroad or whatever. And I think that is the drawing point. Citi Field is that much easier to get to, that much bigger, and that much doper in terms of, like, what's there. Like, Citi Field, even if you don't like baseball...
The building is great.
The building is great. Like, the concessions, being able to walk around, there's, even if you're walking by the good seats, like the field seats, you can still see the game even if you don't have a ticket. You know, I think that's something that would be cool for the future if they decide to run that.
Listen, you know, 20,177 in a, you're still restricted, right? With the amount of people that could come in, you got to be vaccinated. Traveling is still a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
With all those hurdles, I think it's beyond impressive that this 2.5-year-old company is able to fill a building like that, where nobody's been able to really do outside of WWE for the last 22 years.
Yeah, dude.
You know, it's maybe more than that, right? Because WCW the last year wasn't doing that either. So 23 years. I think we are in a different time period for pro wrestling. And well, let's get into this. Let's get into the card here and what you thought, Rich.
Absolutely. Hang on 1 second here.
We're going to skip the news and then go into...
Yeah. 1997 is when the venue was built.
Yeah, 97.
I saw that question in the chat room. So, after an hour of Elevation taping...
Yes.
Which mostly was spent by me on the beer line trying to get
beer. I know.
And Nightmare, we got the dream match of dream matches opening the show.
To open the show. You got Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson.
Oh, chills.
Went to a 30-minute time limit draw. I think they put on... First of all, Dave gave it 5 stars.
Of course.
It's Bryan's first five-star match, if you could believe that.
That's insane, right? Dude.
But by the way, it also shows that even by Dave's own words, I got to tell you about the email I got from Dave.
Is that the one you showed me?
Yeah. I got to tell you, this man is a genius. I got to tell you. I asked him one question. Oh, he gave me every possible detail that I would have ever wanted. I now have access to my own, encyclopedia for professional, which I deeply appreciate. Dave sent me that email, and I very, very much appreciate it. We got to see this match.
My God.
And they did not hold back. I
think they did hold back.
So you're absolutely right. So I asked somebody there. I was like, dude, they didn't hold back. He goes, what are you kidding? Do you know what that next match is going to look like?
Oh, dude.
He's like, this is the beginning. This is the first. This was the appetizer.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. They killed each other. I mean, heavy chops.
Did you watch on TV?
I watched it on TV twice.
How awesome. Also, one of my favorite parts, even before the match started, Kenny looking at Daniel Bryan and going, I don't give a shit. Or Bryan Danielson.
Well, you know what? Danielson was awed by the crowd.
Yeah.
It was really loud. And my question to that I posted was, how loud is it on TV? And I was glad to see that it was pretty accurate on how the audio was. I would say it was almost, it was to a detriment because it was so loud in that building.
Yeah.
You really couldn't focus. Did you feel that way? Because it was so loud. You couldn't even make out the chants.
Dude, it was rolling noise.
Exactly.
Just like, what's happening, what's happening. And then there was that dude behind us who was
shut the fuck up with his screaming.
No, not the screaming guy. There was a dude right behind us who was hysterical the entire night, just making like weird oddball commentary.
Oh, okay.
And, It was very funny, especially towards the end of Rampage where everybody was tired and this guy just kept going. Whoever that dude is, man, I hope you're watching. So after that match, we had the CM Punk promo.
They did a 30-minute match, went to a draw. Obviously, this is going to lead into, I guess, a tag match first, and then maybe this is a full gear match. Which, man, what a pay per view to have if that's your main event for the world title.
Oh, dude,
right? You could really do something interesting here. But you know what's fascinating? They have yet to tap into more story driven, and I think that's going to be the story of 2022.
Okay,
it's going to be more stories because right now it's you don't need the story because the dream matches are what sells it.
Yeah,
what
for do we sure. have
here? Hold on. Intern Deacon showed up to work. Yeah,
did you make those?
He made these. Would you care for
one? I'm good, thank you.
What is this?
What are those? Oh, I thought you made those.
Can I have a glass of water, dude?
Thank you.
Intern Deacon, everybody. Giving a snack. So, I would say that, you know, we're in store for some really cool matches, but they're going to eventually have to lean more on the story because you've already seen these happen. I mean, they got a good 6 months to exhaust this until they go more story-based, but fantastic. What did you think? You loved it, right?
I loved it. I loved everything top to bottom. I did, again, just like trying to get some water and going to the bathroom, I missed the Malakai Black match.
That was okay. That was really cool.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed that match. Cody getting booed out the building is fascinating.
Oh, I heard the boos, like for sure. MJF beating Brian Pillman Jr. I thought was fun. And then we had.
I got to tell you, they tried. They really tried to follow.
They did. Yeah.
It's impossible. It really was impossible for them. I feel like it was a detriment to that match because I was looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. But by the time it happened, you had that fired up promo and then you had everything else happen in that Kenny Omega match. So you were like, okay.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that the roster looking at that Kenny Danielson match went, oh shit, like we got to step it up?
Yeah. I think everybody, that's been a realization the last, you know, couple of weeks for a lot of these guys that they have to step it. Thank you.
Yeah. Can I get a whiskey?
A whiskey sour? Yeah, thank you. Another day, another coffee.
Oh, I like that. That it's not even step it up, but it's like, oh shit, this is what pro wrestling could be.
Yeah.
You know? Because every second of that match was amazing. I think JR even said that was the most fun I've ever had in my career.
Very, very fun match. And insane. You took a beautiful photo of it, by the way.
That was just happenstance, man. Yeah. That was like it turned out good.
You saw the other one I took with the fire?
Yeah, that was dope, man.
Yeah. So we got let me just go here to the notes. So sorry. I lost the notes. Oh, here we go. So, you got Malachi Black and Cody, like you said. Cody got booed out the building. He came out in his Homelander outfit.
Yeah.
with like the cape that goes on for Miles.
Uh-huh.
Brandy came out, and you know, nobody wanted to boo Brandy.
Right, yeah. I love Brandy.
She just had a kid. You know what? People hate her.
I know people hate her.
They hate Cody and they hate her, and I don't know why. I don't know why. It's a lot of assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of people's personal outlook on themselves personal that regrets. Plays into it. You know what I mean?
You think Brandy haters are living lives full of regret?
I think a lot of it is like, listen, they're beautiful people.
Yeah.
And automatically, some people dislike them. They're very confident.
Yeah.
They may come off a little pompous with that confidence. I'm not saying that they are. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this is how people maybe perceive them. They hate them. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I know people that know Brandy like for years, and she's beyond one of the sweetest people.
Total sweetheart. Yeah.
Total sweetheart. I don't know where it comes from. I think it's that goddamn neck tattoo.
You think the table turned on Cody when he got the neck tattoo?
I think people turned around and be like, listen, his judgment is a little impaired here with that tattoo. And what else is he making bad decisions on?
If you could, you know, like, you know what I...
Listen, man, who cares? He got a neck tattoo. Who cares?
You had your neck tattoo removed.
Yeah.
It was just your face.
I told you there's one facial tattoo I would ever get.
What was it? Howard Stern.
Howard Stern, yeah. I just got a Howard Stern tattoo on my face.
That's what you mean. Okay, I thought you meant a tattoo of a face, not something on your face. I know exactly what you're talking about. We talk about that all the time. dirty. So, I don't get the hate, but I can understand where you're coming from in that people are like, it's like a weird reflection of like,
yeah,
why? I think it's the same hate. The hate that they get is akin to the hate, that unreasonable hate that Dave Meltzer gets.
You know what though? Listen, I know Dave.
Right.
We hung out with Dave.
Yeah.
I think he's a very sweet man.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's way less. I think Dave responds to people.
Yes.
And I think that's the biggest problem. He shouldn't be responding to some of these people.
You know what? Yeah. But again, like we hung out with the dude in Chicago. Zero pretense. That guy's all business.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I didn't know what to expect. You didn't know what to expect for the most part. But now you're getting like these delicious emails.
He licked my ear.
He did lick your ear. I saw that.
Yeah. He's like, come here, I want to tell you something. You just go, ah.
But he was wearing a mask, so it was okay.
Yeah, but he put a hole through the mask and it just comes out.
So
it turtles out.
So the I missed the Cody match. I think it went.
It was good.
It was a bathroom break, and I didn't realize how long it was gonna take for me to get back. Yeah. You know.
And by the way, I think Cody in this role, depending on who he wrestles, he should be booed. I think it was cool that Malachi Black people are really behind him. And listen, man, this guy puts everybody over.
Yeah, dude.
You know, like it's not. And someone's like, oh, this is like Hunter and Steph. I'm like, the guy is putting everybody over. He loses constantly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought this was great. I think Malachi Black looked like a million bucks.
Oh,
his entrance is gnarly. He looks great. Yeah. Then we got Sting and Darby Allin. I left during this match.
Dude, it was awesome.
I know. I saw it.
Mm.
I kind of regretted that I left at this point, but I had to get out of there. I was melting down.
I had to, I FaceTimed MG Geek during the match.
I got a little bit of the Comic-Con thing that happened.
Oh, I know. A tiny bit. You don't have to, I'm the last person you have to explain that to. I did feel bad for your buddy Jay, because he was like, they left me alone.
I had to go.
Oh man,
I'll get you there, but I'm leaving. I'm a big fan of the Irish exit.
Did you hear from him?
Yeah. Okay. He never made it home.
Oh my gosh.
No, he got home at like 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, it sucks, dude.
Yeah.
So Sting versus Darby Allin, beating FTR with Tully. I think it was the perfect placement of this match. It was great on the card. It looked awesome. Sting live is awesome.
Can I be a little critical here, and I'm probably going to get people going to get so upset.
Sure.
Okay. Main event. I'll say it after the main event.
Okay.
Let me just say this. But the Sting match was fantastic. Very good. I very much enjoyed it. AEW, and I want to go through this quickly because this is old news now. AEW Women's World Champion, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, defeated Ruby Soho. It was a good match. I think Ruby, you know, Ruby should have lost. Britt Baker should have kept it, kept the title. And they're just going to continue something here. I thought it was a fine match. Very, very solid show. Now I'm going to say this before we go into Rampage. I think Rampage being a 2-hour show was a detriment to Dynamite. All right? So if you were to take...
Okay. I'm ready.
If you were to take CM Punk versus Powerhouse Hobbs and you put the Young Bucks match on there and you put... Well, you know what? You probably couldn't do it because you had that 30-minute match. I don't think... I think it would have been impossible. Let me... you know what? Insane. I'm taking everything back that I just freaking said.
Okay.
There was no way they could have figured this out. To be as big as it was, because you're going to lose something here and you're going to remove something in order to put it. It would have been impossible to fit everything. You know what? A 3-hour special would have been great.
I think the original plan that you and MG were talking about ahead of the show would have worked for me personally.
That's how it was supposed to be.
1 hour Rampage, 2 hours Dynamite, the second hour of Rampage. But that's not what we got. But you know what? I think they heavily relied on the show and the New York crowd to still be there after
and
5 hours.
They were. Okay, so now that we're going to go into Rampage.
Yeah.
How was the vibe?
Dude, okay. So Punk blew the place up. Kyle was saying, like, because Kyle is a former pro wrestler who was hanging out with us. From his perspective, he was like, I think they rushed it because it seemed like Hobbs was super nervous to be in the ring with Punk.
It was slower. It was a slower match. Punk slowed it down.
Got CM Trunks.
CM Trunks. He's getting a little bigger. He's working out a little bit more
push-ups.
I get why they did what they did. I do. So Punk opens a big pop for him, right? But people were staying. Did people leave?
A few people left.
After Dynamite.
No, a few people left after the Lucha Bros match, but not a lot. So what really, really popped the crowd, Adam Cole and the Bucks beating Christian Cage and Jurassic Express, because that was a fun six-man.
Yeah.
And the crowd ate it up, right?
Yeah.
Great. The Men of the Year beating Chris Jericho and Jake Hager, the crowd was still with it. Especially when America Top Team came out.
American Top Team got a huge, huge pop. Who was out there? It was Jorge Masvidal got the biggest pop of them all. He's gimmicked up, hair is done, wearing a jacket.
So good.
And he did the running knee that he had hit, what's his name with? That he beat him with.
Yeah.
My brain just stopped. Come on. Who'd he beat with that running knee?
I don't know. I don't watch MMA.
It was... Askren, Ben Askren.
Okay.
He hit Ben Askren with that and beat him with it. So people freaking loved it. By the way, I would say that that was a very successful moment. I think Jorge Masvidal is a star. Paige VanZant was out there beating up Jericho. It was a total, I mean, they annihilated them, essentially. And this is going to continue something. Very cool to see.
Yeah, dude. That was fun. And then all of a sudden, it's Lucha Bros and Santana and Ortiz beating Private Party, Butcher, and Blade, right?
Yeah.
Santana and Ortiz got a beautiful hometown pop.
Okay, I missed that.
Yeah. You were home already. At this point, I got a text from you saying, I'm home.
I'm so tired.
Don't talk to me anymore.
Don't talk to me. I'm done. I'm melting.
Have fun at Arthur Trash.
Arthur Trash.
Lucha Brothers Santana beat Private Party, Butcher, and the Blade. Great match. Really fun. Santana had Mets/Knicks colors on his face paint, which is dope,
cool.
Like the orange and blue.
Very cool.
Penelope Ford beat Anna Jay. Honestly, like, I had zero expectations for that match, but that was a fun match.
Very nice.
Very good match. They teased, like, some Dark Order stuff, too, which is fine.
Well, the tease maybe is for next week.
So next week, they're going to be in Rochester.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Hometown of Brody Lee.
Brody Lee. So there's a lot of speculation about Bray possibly showing up. There was a story put out. I wish I knew who put that story out so I could give them credit. I can't remember because I'm unprepared for that, but there was a story out that says that Bray could have waived his 90 days and not been paid by WWE.
Interesting.
I have not heard that, so I can't confirm it. I haven't even asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Dave put it out. Somebody put it out. I have, on my own thing, I haven't even asked. Because I was so saturated with everything else going on in my life this week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'll follow up on that this week. Obviously, it's Monday. But interesting, you know, the Dark Order stuff kind of plays in with this. It's perfect timing for something cool to happen.
For real,
they are going to do it. So we'll go into that more in a little bit. But main event time, lights out match.
Oh, boy.
John Moxley and Eddie Kingston versus Lance Archer and Minoru Suzuki.
How dope.
With a Homicide run-in. Catalyst Wrestling's own Homicide.
Dude, but Kyle and I squealed.
I know. Was Kyle like... How hard was Kyle?
He was pretty hard, dude. I've never seen him that hard before, and I've seen him pretty hard. Both of us let out this weird Mankind squeal when Homicide came out. Like, it was insane. The match was fantastic. Eddie, huge pop. He got one of the biggest pops of the night. The crowd was chanting Eddie. 20,000 people chanting Eddie. Yeah. Eddie, really awesome, right? Fun match. They tried to... I don't know how it came across on TV when they tried to tape up Mox.
Okay, so I have to tell you, I need to rewatch Rampage. Okay. I watched it last night, and I was losing my mind at one point last night. I think you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was kind of out of it, so I didn't really get the full effect.
So at one point, Lance gets duct tape, and it looked like this is the first time this guy's ever used duct tape, and he couldn't get it around Mox properly.
Yeah.
So it was loose on him, you know?
Okay.
Weird, dumb wrestling gripe, right? Yeah. And then Homicide had a pair of scissors in his pocket.
Of course he does.
To free Moxley, and I was like, oh, everybody's got scissors in their pocket, right?
I think it's great that Homicide... First of all, Homicide looks like... just a lunatic walking around in New York City. How many Homicides do you see regularly?
Oh, dude. Like
that is a look.
Homicides rule Manhattan. And
by the
Bronx
way, Dean in our chat needs to speak to you.
I know.
Can you just take his call, please?
I said hi to him, and then
Can you just answer the man? Dean really needs to talk to you while we're doing the show.
He was like, Rich? Yeah. Are you my legitimate son?
I think it is.
Oh, no.
This is how we find out?
This is how we find out. Oh, my God. I got to go.
See you later.
More Homicides.
So do you think Homicide's going to be there now?
So I was talking about that on the way home. A one-off or like Nick Gage style? Or is Homicide going to be the guy whenever they do New York? He's like the Sting that comes out of the sewer hole. Instead of the rafters, he comes out from the underground.
Dude, Dean, can I talk to you?
Oh, my God.
Just say yes.
Yes. What's
now
up?
I want to know. Dean, what do you need to talk about?
What's up, Tell bud? all right.
He thinks maybe he's into you. Maybe he likes you.
Somebody take care of this guy. Jesus Christ.
I think he should definitely have a match.
Yes. Homicide needs a match. I think whenever they come to Queens or New York, they're going to have a Homicide sighting, you know? But it's dope because, like, you know, he's Eddie's guy and, like, he's his mentor and he'll train
Eddie. You'll
never see
that in WWE. You know what I mean?
No, you'll never see it done right, you know? And I don't think the WWE crowd would know who Homicide is. But that Arthur Ashe crowd, a bunch of New Yorkers.
They knew, and they did it right.
They knew. What if I was kind of like, what if they have, like, other weird New York guys show up?
I hope so, because that's good for me. I guarantee you, the next Catalyst Wrestling is going to have, you know, double the ticket sales.
Oh, yeah.
Because Homicide's on national TV. So this is great for me. It's great for Catalyst Wrestling. You know,
yeah,
so
absolutely.
The more Homicide, the better.
So do you think they're going to negate him and just, like, one-off or no?
No, I think they'll maybe do, like, a three-on-three now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You could have Homicide and Dean and Mox. Dean and Mox, Jesus. Mox and Eddie. Which I'm into.
Okay. Fun match, dude.
How about, like, Little Uzi Verde?
Verde. Little Uzi Verte.
Little Uzi came out, too.
Little Uzi came out. I don't know, man. Rich, I want to talk to you.
Rich, I want to talk to you.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, so it was an awesome show. I'm really curious what the ratings are for this. I don't think it's going to be... Can I guess? I'm going to throw one. 987. I'm sorry, 897.
For Rampage.
887.
For Rampage.
For Rampage, 887.
I'm going to say 990.
990? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just throwing a number out
there. You know what? You want to do Price is Right rules?
Whoever's closer gets...
Yeah, the over-under. Yeah, whoever's closest has to buy a drink.
That doesn't make sense.
No, whoever is closest without going over,
right,
has to buy the other, gets a drink bought for them.
Okay, yeah. All so right, cool. The loser has to buy.
Yeah,
the guy who doesn't get it right has to buy the drink.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Rich, I need to talk to you.
Matt Reichel, Matt, what's up? Hope your surgery went well. He says 750. Drew Nicholas says 805. What was your number again?
887.
I'm gonna go 990. Okay.
I'm going to go 887.
What if we're both over?
Then we...
Just buy each other drinks.
Yeah, then we just buy both a drink. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so it was a good show. So let's go into some news. I know everybody's here for this.
Yes. Let's do it.
About 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I got wind that there was another title coming, and I assumed it was going to be the Trios title. Well, by the way, a Trios title is on the way.
That's been on the way.
Because Cody said... I think it was Cody
mm-hmm.
or the Bucks during the last Jericho cruise. They had kind of said that their plan was to debut it at the next one.
Okay.
Right. But that didn't happen. Obviously, pandemic happened. We'll see what happens. Right. But there is another title. There was a teaser I saw online mm-hmm. by somebody. And I asked somebody else. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, what's the deal with this? He goes, oh, there's a secondary title coming. It'll be a women's secondary belt. And I was trying to confirm the name. I had the name, but I couldn't confirm it until somebody else told me, like, oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. So mm-hmm. I broke it on Denise's podcast on Wednesday, right after Dynamite, where she was doing her 100th episode. And I was like, you know what? Let me just go in there and throw it. And I gave her a super chat. And I'm like, it's going to be called the TBS title.
Boom.
So the TNT title is going to be the men's title. Mm-hmm. TBS title is going to be the women's secondary title. And apparently Rampage is staying on TNT now for a while.
Okay.
That was a story. Somebody send that to me. I've been really out of it this week. And then the Chris Canyon stuff kind of blew up.
Yeah.
By the way, I was on Russell Talk TV. You guys should check it out. I was on the Russell Talk TV podcast with Denise and Adam. Filling in for Luke. Luke just had a daughter.
Congratulations.
So Luke was not in. So it was a lot of fun. I told the potato story.
I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, it got over really big.
Bringing it back.
Listen, you know what? We were having some technical issues, so we were just trying to fill in some stuff, and it just turned out that the potato story worked. And people, that story does not get old.
No, it's a good story.
It does not get old.
We ran with that for a while.
And every time I tell it, it's the God's honest truth of what happened, and people absolutely love it. So,
did you tell it the real way, or did you embellish it and say two guys held you down, and then a third guy potatoed you in the mouth?
No, I said the real story. He potatoed me in the mouth.
It's a good story. It's a funny story. I'm still
shock
questioning
too.
Why you took the potato,
dude. It was a total lapse in judgment. I honestly, and I said it on the show, I think I took too many edibles the night before, and I was like kind of zoned out. I was really zoned out, and when he did this, I maybe thought, like, in my mind, like, oh, I'm at home and just doing it.
You almost got poisoned,
and then you know what, when he put it in, I just sucked his finger a little bit, like,
maybe that's what made you sick.
I think so.
Whatever was at the end of this guy's finger.
No, but I did say now I believe now I'm a Highlander.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the monkey's paw, right? I ate the potato. I have eternal life, but now I have to witness all my loved ones die.
Oh, no.
Always.
You know, that's what they say when you suck your own potato. You're granted immortality. yes, indeed.
All right. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Ayaz has a question.
Yeah.
Which is the worst? The grape. Ayaz Akhtar, which is the worst lapse of judgment? Cody's neck tattoo or Adrian's potato?
The potato.
100%,
man.
You can laser that shit off.
Yeah, yeah. You can't ever unbe immortal.
You can't ever laser a potato once it's in your system.
I'm going to have to decapitate myself. That's the only way.
Oh, boy.
Like a Highlander. All right. So, so TBS title, I think it's cool. Rampage is staying on TNT, which I think is... It was... Listen, I think balancing the ratings, they're very happy with the Rampage ratings, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
we'll just see where what happens now. What happened?
Nothing. I'm just giggling about the potato.
Good. Good. Keep giggling.
It's good. It's good. It's
Owen Hart Foundation partnership with AEW.
Mm-hmm.
A little kick in the face of WWE here.
Right.
Saying, Martha Hart has not wanted to work with them ever. This would allow the use of name and images of Owen. Video games, merch, event named after him, etc. You know? And here's a theory. I don't know if this is yours.
That's mine.
That's yours? Okay. Yeah. Normally you put the R. I thought it was MG's. But it's a great theory. Here's a theory. If Kevin Owens jumps, he can win the first Owen tournament.
Right.
You know what, Rich?
Mm-hmm.
Never even thought of that. Brilliant.
I do think... I'm not saying that this is the plan or anything, but AEW does have a habit of capitalizing on coincidence, kismet, and the karma of just wrestling, right?
Yeah.
All this stuff seems to just work out for them perpetually, knock on wood. And I think this might be one of those things where final entrant in this Owen tournament that happens at some point in the next year.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah,
that's his debut. He wins.
What a fantastic way to do it.
Right?
What a fantastic way. And again, synergy, right? Capitalizing on the name and the coincidence and the odds and whatever.
Synergy.
So this is fascinating. Story came out. American Gladiators are getting rebooted. And MGM and WWE are partnering.
Yeah.
You know, for a couple of weeks now, I've been alluding to something, right? I keep saying that if WWE doesn't have some sort of Vegas residency in some capacity within the next 5 years, they totally missed the boat on something.
I love that idea of the Vegas residency.
Right? And I had heard about this, and I didn't really bring it up because I just heard about it in passing. I had no information beyond, they're going to be rebooting it, and MGM is partnering with them. And I was like, and that's what kind of got my mind flowing about, okay, maybe they need to do some sort of residency in Vegas. I do see this. I do see it being possible. You know?
Yeah,
I do see this being a thing.
Well, also, that keeps the bigness of WWE there.
Yeah.
Right? It's a different kind of bigness, you know? I got a question for you about the show.
Yeah.
You know what I saw a lot of on socials yesterday? That people thought that a lot of ticket holders for Wednesday's shows were plants from WWE were trolling the show.
Okay, I got to tell you, I got a ridiculous amount of conspiracy theories messaged to me on Wednesday and all morning Thursday from people that were adamant that that building was not, it was an empty building, essentially, right? People were sending me screenshots of empty chairs, the sectioned off, like the obstructed view section, saying, look at the 1,000 seats, the suites. Like, guys, there was 20,000 people in that building.
A lot of people.
Every seat that could potentially have been sold, that you could watch the show unobstructed, was sold.
Yeah.
Whether or not people were sitting in their seats at that very moment, because there, 20,000 people. How many people do you think are walking around at concessions?
Right.
I would say a lot.
A whole lot. Yeah.
I would say a ton. People are walking around. They're buying stuff. They're doing stuff. What is this obsession with trying to make this into something that is either, I don't get people that want to make things into a bigger thing or take away from it. Be truthful. Just be honest.
Yes. It's also that weird us versus them mentality with AEW and WWE that shouldn't exist.
It's so dumb, dude. It's so stupid. I don't get, even with sports teams, like, I'm a Giants fan, right? Yeah. I'm a Mets fan.
Okay.
Right? I don't freaking go on Twitter and start antagonizing Yankee fans. Like, what kind of loser? What kind of loser are you in life? Not anymore. I used to do that in the 90s. I used to go on message boards and Yankee boards and talk about Tino Martinez.
Oh, yeah?
Derek Jeter and Paul O'Neill. I saw them.
Jeter's a shill.
Jeter's. Do it. Hey, Jeter, do it for Ronkonkoma. How weird is this? Like, guys, like, who cares? Like what you like, don't like what you don't like. Who gives a shit?
It's cool that people are passionate about
it. If you love WWE, mm-hmm. like I love WWE, I watch it every freak. I watch it more than anything else. You know, if I didn't enjoy it, why the fuck am I watching?
Right.
That was a good censor. I've learned to censor myself.
Nice.
A little bit,
right? That was very good. That was like you did your live dirty rap song, but then you did this shit on the mic.
You know what I mean? Like, Ronnie from Ronkonkoma. Hmm. I don't get that mentality.
Yeah.
I think it's really silly.
It's very silly.
Like, I had somebody come up to me at the event, okay? And he goes, he's like, hey, Andrew, like, I took a photo. There was a guy also that wanted a photo at the fucking urinal. Which can I tell you, like, it's embarrassing for me to tell you, dude, can I not be holding my piche deal?
You can just turn around.
Huh?
You just turn around.
Turn around with your ding dong out. Yeah, I should have done that. I'm like, you want a photo? Here you go.
There you go. Post that on your internets.
I don't get. So this guy comes over. He's like, you know what? I hope WWE effing dies now. I hope WWE dies.
Never gonna happen.
This is the beginning of the end. They suck. WWE sucks. I hope. And this company needs to stop hiring those losers from there. I'm like,
oh my god.
I'm like, dude. I said, I get it. Everybody's passionate. I said, take wrestling out of this, right? Let's say you're Intel, right? You're Intel. Intel is WWE.
Oh.
And AMD, NVIDIA is AEW.
Mm-hmm.
You have the best of the best engineers and coders working at Intel. Are you now, as NVIDIA, going to say, well, I can't hire those people. They worked over there. And then people start criticizing the company, saying, oh, it's just a bunch of hires from Intel. No, it doesn't work like that. Yeah. Nobody cares. There's only two places to work in this business to make money, like real good money. Who cares where people go?
Exactly. I'm going to quote as a comic book writer that posted this yesterday that I think applies to this. Not liking things and hoping they will fail is not a personality.
No.
No one thinks you're cool or interesting. I promise.
I don't get that mentality, dude. Yeah. It's a weird thing. And listen, enjoy what you love. Love what you love. Hate what you hate. Don't watch what you don't like.
Exactly. And you know what? We can say that because we're on both their payrolls.
Oh, that's the best. This dude goes, yeah. Let me ask you, did you pay for your tickets? I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I effing paid for my tickets. Mm. And I paid for everybody's tickets that came.
Yes, much appreciated.
Because I want to, first of all, I always pay for.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's awesome.
Because this is a thing that we do, right?
Fly me in,
fly you in.
Give me a back rub.
My boy Jay came. Bob was there. I had those tickets. Josh was supposed to come and I bought him a ticket. Like, I wanna have fun with my friends. This is a gift. I'm doing something.
Yeah.
And even if Tony Khan did pay for my tickets,
okay,
which he didn't. Hey, Tony, by the way, I have no problem. I'm not a journalist. Let me just put this out there. I have no problem accepting tickets or money.
Watches are cool.
Watches, I take watches, underwear, AEW fanny packs, I'll accept it all. But I'm half joking, I'm half serious too. You know what I mean? Like, this is silly. This whole accusation thing is so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem being on anybody's goddamn payroll. And I'm pretty upfront about when things are paid for.
Exactly.
WWE comped us these amazing tickets for MSG.
Oh my God.
We got to hang out with Steph and Nick Khan. You know, I'm pretty straightforward with that, and I'm not getting paid by them. I have no problem taking money from them.
Exactly. But you know what? Like, this is my whole thing. This is like a big tangent that we're going on. If you're that guy who takes a dump on everything, you're not going to get comp tickets for anything.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you're positive and cool about the shit you like, which I think we are definitely, we had this conversation numerous times on Wednesday, you know, just try. Oh, you want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
So this is a tangent within a tangent.
Yeah.
So Kyle's friend Cal, who was hanging out, was like, oh, I want to listen to you guys' podcast. I need something to listen to when I work out.
Yeah.
Right? Kyle goes, hey, I work out and listen to them also. My buddy Alex goes, that's when I work out.
That's really
funny. So it's three dudes just getting real pumped listening to us talk about wrestling.
Love it. Love it.
Hell yeah.
So listen, I don't know, man. I think the whole thing is really weird. I don't do this for money.
Yeah.
Neither does Rich. Like, we make a couple bucks from this, and that pays, like, you know?
Go to the bar.
Yeah, but you know what it goes to?
MG.
We go to the bar.
Yeah.
We throw a couple bones to MG. We throw a couple bones to Suncast. We throw a couple bones to Jonathan. We buy these tickets to go to these shows. You know, it gets pretty expensive. You know how much Vegas cost?
Vegas was very
Vegas
expensive.
Cost like cost me probably.
Did you get a comp for that yet?
Not it, with the comps.
Yeah,
it cost me like $1,800.
Oh my god!
And you're talking, and the comps were my flight was paid for by Sapphire.
We're gonna have to start that OnlyFans, dude.
Listen, it's expensive. It's expensive, but I don't do this for money. I don't give a shit about the money. It's not. Rich has a career. I got a career. We do well. You know. We do well.
Yeah, this is fun.
This is awesome. I love doing this, and I love spreading the wealth. And you guys, with your support, and hitting us with Patreon, hitting us with the
super chats.
It only helps us do more.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't listen. Would I want to do this full time? I would love to, but I also understand it's financially. It would be virtually impossible for me to make the money I'm making.
Right.
With you know. With having it, you know, obviously I got to share with Rich, 50-50 partnership here, and I
got
to pay everybody else.
Kids.
Like, I can't, I would not
got a
be
mortgage.
Able to, I got a fucking crazy ass. If, my mortgage is so obscene, but knock on wood, I work hard. Everything I do, I work hard. I'm doing 90 fucking hours a week. So I have no problem making money with this.
Yeah, absolutely. That being said, send us watches.
Send me watches.
Send us watches.
I want more Rolexes, that's all. So, American Gladiator reboot. Let's talk about Dark Side of the Ring. This was a big story, and then we're going to go into WWE because they have a big pay-per-view coming up, and I think they've been doing some awesome stuff
Let's
the last couple
do
days.
It.
I made a post about Chris Kanyon.
Yes.
Let me just say, I met Chris right before he passed away.
Yes.
In a very dark period in his life. I will tell you now the full story of how I met Chris Kanyon. All right? There used to be a website called Stickham that we used to broadcast on.
Mm-hmm.
We were a partner. It was a streaming platform that was kind of leaving what they were initially started. They started as like a, remember Tiny Chat? It was like a, like you could have a bunch of people on the video and they could all chat together.
Kind of like a Google Meets.
It started, thing. Yeah, it started like that. And they, they contacted us because they wanted to go more with like content like this. And we were on there. And Chris somehow found the Andrew Zarian show. And it's at the guys from Queens Network. So he would like come in the chat and he would hang out and he would talk about being from Queens. And he had the name Chris Kanyon. And I was like, hey, is it Chris Kanyon? He's like, yeah, I'm the real Chris Kanyon. So we started chatting.
Yeah.
Imagine if I got catfished from a fake one.
By some guy named Kiss Kanyon?
By Kiss Kanyon. So he would also go live on there at times. And just, like, shoot the shit and do, like, nothing and leave. So we started talking because he called me. He's like, listen, I got this groundbreaking. First, he asked me if I was gay because I think he wanted, like, a date.
Yeah.
I'll start off with that. That's the part I didn't put in the tweet. So he's like, hey, can I ask you a question? I'm like, sure. He goes, are you gay? I'm like, no, I'm not. He's like, oh, too bad. Mm-hmm. Like, he made, like, a joke. I was like, sometimes it doesn't work out for us. He's like, oh, I would have loved to go on a date with you or something. It was like a cute little line. So We started chatting. He's like, listen, in all seriousness, I want to come on the show. I have this groundbreaking story.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, can I call you? I said, yeah, no problem. Maybe he just wanted a date. I don't know. Listen, I am a handsome boy.
You do get a lot of man love.
I do get a lot of man love, and I deeply appreciate it. So he calls me, and he was out of his effing mind. Very upset. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way whatsoever.
Right.
I'm going to be a little bit more sensitive with my words here. He was really angry. He was all over the place. And he had... he had a real trouble. He had real trouble focusing on his point. All right?
Okay.
He was very, very upset. And I listened. I just listened to what he was saying, and it was very accusatory for WWE and people there.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this proof, and he had physical proof, and he was going to show it. And he needed he's like, I want to come on. Let's figure it out. And I said, okay, let's figure it out. And he sent me a couple more messages after that, and I didn't hear from him. And then the next thing I heard, a week and a half later, he took his own life.
Very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. And I put that out there, and a lot of people took it as a WWE dig, but it was more a, hey, you know, like, let's be a little bit conscious about mental health issues. And my own personal belief, I don't think he had any evidence. I don't think there was any evidence. No, okay. I don't believe any of it. I I think he was in a real bad place.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things he said to me, I won't go into, but it was really out there. Really, really out there.
Yeah. But unfortunately, he did suffer from bipolar disorder, you know.
Unfortunately, he did. Yeah. And you know, and he had a lot of issues with his own, him being gay. He was
being closeted.
He was very upset with it, and he always thought it would be a detriment to his career.
Mm-hmm.
And people that I, you know, we now because of the show and everything, in talking to a couple of people, everybody knew.
Right.
I don't think, you know, first of all, wrestling, especially in the 90s in a locker room, I truly understand why he would not want to.
Right.
Not want to. He wouldn't feel comfortable doing it. I get it, you know, and. You know, even though we grew up in that era and we think we're pretty progressive with our thought process and acceptance and everything, you know, it's a little bit different in a meathead locker room, especially in that time.
Yeah, that evolution of being progressive wasn't there yet. Listen, you know, and, especially even with the mental health stuff.
I'm not even going
yet.
Into politicalness. I'm just saying, like, normal decency and just dealing with people, yeah. You know, like just letting people live their lives, whatever. So, you know, I didn't see Dark Side of the Ring yet. Let me just say
same
that.
Same here, yeah.
I haven't seen it. I'm going to watch it, not for any other reason other than that it's been really chaotic, and I want to watch it with my wife, because my wife spoke to Chris also once.
Okay.
And, you know, I kind of want to watch it with her because she likes the documentary, but, you know, I got to tell you, really, what a fucking travesty. Really sad.
Very sad.
You know,
seemed like a nice guy, too.
I haven't watched the documentary again, so in talking to him, though, he never once said to me that they were, he was fired. I want to be careful how I say this.
Yeah.
I don't, in talking to him, I don't think him being gay was the reason why he was let go.
Okay.
Could that have been a small factor? I think so. It could have just been another thing that certain people in that company didn't like him for. But the main thing was he was from WCW.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very, you know, his character was a cocky character.
Right. Who better?
Who better than Canyon? He came with tremendous praise on his work rate.
Yeah.
And
big dude too.
He's a big dude. And when he got to WWE. He just had every obstacle in his way. He just had every fucking obstacle in his way, and there was no way he was going to get over.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. And it had way more to do with the fact that locker room was extremely competitive in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is now here. You've been told that these people are your enemy.
Yeah.
And that they tried to put you out of business, and now you're in their home. What do you think? It's not going to be the best. It was set up to fail by design. I'll just say it that way.
Yeah.
The success of anybody in WCW, any of those mid-card guys, Chuck Palumbos, the Chronics, Chris Canyon, even DDP.
Mm-hmm.
DDP failed in WWE because they were set to fail. So I'm going to watch a Chris Canyon stuff tonight.
Yeah.
It really makes me sad that he never felt comfortable.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. And he was only 40.
And you know, I believe he was starting to do the Mortis gimmick.
Okay.
On the indies again. And he got in shape. I know that he kind of got out of shape and he was getting back in shape. But, you know, mental health issues, it's a serious thing. I think I'll tell you a little story and then we'll move on. I have a friend. This guy is the most charming, charismatic, corporate, very a handsome corporate guy. All right. I'm just going to put it. Yeah. You could kind of figure very, very, I mean, just power finance dude. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was from a small hedge fund that did very, very well. He moved to like a big, very in he like a Wolf of Wall Street type firm. He moved there.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay? Very, but like a lot of money. Very machismo-based, alpha-driven. This guy went from a fucking shark to a mouse.
Yeah, yeah.
As a human being. He became suicidal.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
The environment was so aggressive. So aggressive and so in your face where it harmed him.
Yeah.
And he left the industry. He left and he's never the same after that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be more conscious.
Absolutely.
And I think we are now. Listen, we are now. And listen, I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, it's a man's business. Man. Whatever, dude. Listen.
Not our fans.
You get put in that situation. Yeah. You get put in that situation and then come to me and tell me that, you know, listen, I'm in a very high intense alpha driven industry also.
Yeah.
I could shuck and jive.
Yeah.
You know, I could go with the ebbs and flows. I'm able to maintain it, but it's very, if you feel like you can't take it, it could get to you. And I think for Chris's case, he was in a really aggressively toxic locker room, coming in as the outsider. He has, obviously, he's very uncomfortable with being open about his sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, everybody's telling you now that you suck, even though you've been told that you're like the future of the business.
Right. Yeah. That's got to mess with you.
And of course it does. Of course it does. And by the way, he's not the only one. We've made a lot of friends in this business.
Yes.
And the horror stories of hearing things that certain individuals in the business, top guys, have done and said.
Right.
I have a story about somebody that I would never put out there.
Yeah.
Because it's so heinous. Nothing illegal. I'm just saying. It's not an illegal act. It's nothing sexual. Mm. It wasn't any kind of harassment in that way. But it was just such a crappy thing to say and do that you would be... if you knew, you would probably say... Oh, I could kind of see it, but you would also be genuinely shocked due to messaging. So, I don't know, man. I got to watch it. It's a little bit of a downer, so I got to be in a right mind to watch it.
Listen, they're all...
Sorry, I went on a...
No, don't apologize. They're all downers, but, you know, like how you said you watch it with Jess?
Yeah.
Vicky, in theory, she's always like, yeah, I'll watch that with you. I'll watch Dark Side of the Ring with you. And then at the end of every single one, she goes, why did I watch that? Now I'm sad. You know, like she was crying at the end of the last week's episode with the plane ride from hell.
So I won't even go. I don't even want to.
That's fair.
Go near the plane ride from hell thing. But I'll just say, I think I'm not even going to say anything.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Tommy said enough.
There's nothing left to be said.
Listen, but however, I do want to, I'll say one thing. No matter how many, I think Flair started off, like he did say that he made some really stupid decisions because he was drunk all the time. But, you know, WWE embraced this whole Ric Flair rope thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was known. Everybody knew that he would do this.
It was made into a cartoon.
It was made into a cartoon. It was also made into a pay-per-view. Pay-per-view. Was it a pay-per-view flyer? It was a flyer where they were lined up for a mugshot and Flair has his robe open with the booking sheet in front. So, listen, it's fucking times are different, you know, but I've been in many locker rooms. I don't know a lot of dudes that would take their dick out publicly like that.
Right. Yeah. You know? That's not something you do.
No matter how many times you say, like, well, it was the times. Like, okay, do you think that's normal for, like, an old man to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's normal. You can't really normalize it. Is it something he did? And in that environment, it was considered funny? Yeah, in that environment, it was considered funny, but it doesn't mean that 20 years later, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. It's just... I don't even want to get into it. It's
no, definitely.
I think everything that was said was said. Raw, we got Bloodline defeating the New Day. This was a great Raw.
Yes, it was very fun.
I really enjoyed it. This led to the main event. You got a triple threat match. Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns defeated Bobby Lashley and Big E. This was added because they did tremendous on the house shows with this match.
Mm-hmm.
Belita. That's all he does. He's just zapping people now with his...
I do like how he does Roman does like more smirks, you know, like when he's about to do shit, he'll do this.
Yeah.
Like real cool. Do you think he's going to get like super over as a babyface when he turns?
Yeah. I like him in the role he's in.
Oh, he's great.
He's an arrogant guy. I love it. And then we'll SmackDown. We got last night.
Well, we got Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley beat Natalya and Tamina to win the Women's Tag Team Championship.
Yeah.
And then SmackDown, sorry.
Our friends, Natty and Tamina.
They were the best.
You and Tamina hit it off.
Me and Tamina
hit it off.
Were like Mariah and ODB.
Yeah, you were. Like, you were like Mariah and ODB. Somebody tweet that to Tamina and let her know.
We spent a good 20 minutes talking to each other, and it was very nice. It was very heartwarming.
Sweet, total sweethearts.
Yeah.
Both of them. Nakamura defeated Apollo Crews to retain the IC Championship on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Zelina Vega defeated Liv Morgan. Happy talk with Baron Corbin. Stupid. This Happy Corbin stuff I hate.
You want him to be a broke-ass bum Corbin.
Yeah. It got over. I don't like this Happy Talk nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Ash, ASH, with Rhea Ripley defeated Natty and Tamina. Naomi promo calls out Sonya Deville, wants a match. Sonya throws her out. Then you got a non-title match. Universal Champion Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman defeated Montez Ford. Really good match.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it, and at the end, the demon showed up after to take out the bloodline. So is this going to be the first loss for the demon?
Can we, we're doing the watch along tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Can we both do demon makeup?
My God.
Like,
my wife would love to do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. The whole show, just really janky.
Yeah, but I don't want to get too close to what he's doing.
No.
Like, it's kind of borderline.
I know what you're saying, and I agree with you. 100%.
I think if we did it, I don't think it would look as good as his, and no. I think it would be taken totally out of context.
Yes.
We would have to make a public apology video explaining that was not our intentions.
Right. Okay? We have to be very careful about this demon makeup.
What if we just do kiss makeup?
Or like juggle? Oh, I'd love to do kiss makeup.
You want to do kiss makeup?
Yeah.
I want to be Ace Frehley.
Oh, you're going to be Space Ace?
I want to be Space Ace.
I want to be the Star Child, man. I'll be Paul Stanley.
Okay, cool.
Hell yeah. Big red lipstick, big star in the eye. If I show up looking like Paul Stanley tomorrow and you are not wearing makeup, I would be very upset.
Our producers are vetoing us doing Balor face paint right now. So Demon showed up. All right, cool. NXT, the ratings are holding, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the shots a little bit.
Yes.
So I emailed somebody over there. I'm like, mm-hmm. I was like, you got that empty effing wall there. He's like, yeah, it looks like a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So they introduce a bunch of new faces. Roddy defeated Kushida to win the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. So Roderick is mm-hmm. fantastic. Kaylee Ray defeated Amari Miller. Cameron Grimes defeated Joey Gacy.
Joe Gacy.
Electra Lopez defeated Anna Shear. Odyssey Jones wins a 2-on-1 handicap match. Braun Breaker.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Come on. Why can't he just be a Steiner?
Why can't he be Mojo Steiner?
Rex Steiner. He debuted as Rex Steiner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Riddick Moss came back on SmackDown.
Okay.
That wasn't in the notes, but Riddick's back. But why?
You don't like the name Braun Breaker?
It's like... It's so 80s. It's so 1980s and 1990s.
Do you think this was what they wanted from Mojo all along?
Oh, yeah. Positive. Yeah. You know what they're going to have? I'm going to tell you. They're going to have a Braun Breaker playset.
Yes.
Where it's him with like an action punch to break the brick wall.
Absolutely.
They don't do that. Mattel, if you guys don't do that, you're missing out.
I think, let's see, because he's getting that title. He is getting that title from Tommaso Ciampa at some point.
Dude, all I'm thinking, I look at him and I'm like, what kind of merch do we have?
Yeah.
What kind of merch? All right. Braun Breaker what? Braun Breaker anything with it. Anything with Braun Breaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's a merch monster.
I think he should start bursting through a wall like the Kool-Aid
Man. Yeah. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I like him, though. I'm into him. So Braun Breaker with Tommaso Ciampa, NXT champion, defeated Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland. So you can see... They're grooming these guys to be the next stars.
Yeah. These are like Ridge Holland and Braun Breaker are like the buff big boys. They're the Mason Ryans.
They are the Mason Ryans. They're working on this.
Mm.
Joe Gacy got canceled. I don't know what happened with him. I don't know anything beyond that.
Joe Gacy is the progressive guy, right?
Is that his gimmick?
I think so.
I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, Matt Men watch along 7 p.m. Sunday. We're doing this, Rich?
Yeah, man.
It's been a while. We haven't done a watch along due to all the travel for the pay-per-views. I can't do it. I can't do that. I got to be a good boy tomorrow.
All right.
We're going to see Liv Morgan and Carmella.
Great.
We're going to see SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos versus the Street Profits. I'm into that match. Cool. United States Champion Damian Priest versus Sheamus versus Jeff Daddy.
Jeff Daddy.
SmackDown Women's Champion. By the way, tomorrow I'm going on Barstool.
I thought that was yesterday.
No, I'm doing it tomorrow with Rob Fox.
Okay.
SmackDown Women's Champion Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair.
Got it.
Raw Women's Champion Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss.
Boom.
And we also have Roman Reigns versus the Demon Finn Balor in an Extreme Rules match.
Goldberg shows up at the end of that.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the news for Arthur Ashe also.
Sure.
They're planning on doing this yearly.
Awesome.
There was a story that came out that said that they want to the building wants to bring them back again sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal with this, right? Like, it's an outdoor stadium with a cloth top, the dome.
Yeah.
They're not going to be running this in the winter.
Too bad, like, the weather was very shady on Wednesday.
Because their top could have been
open. You know, it would have been cool if that top was open.
Yeah, that would have been cool if the top was open. But I don't know how often. I know that they want to do this yearly. So if you do Grand Slam now every once a year in September, I think that's fantastic. That's amazing, actually. It works out really well. You can't do it too close to tennis. You can't do it too far out because it's the winter then.
Right.
So you have a very sweet spot. So I don't know. I'll ask my buddy in the building. See what I'm sure they would love to have them again earlier. Positive they would, but I don't know logistically how soon they could go back there. Mm-hmm. I'd be shocked if it's in the cold months. I'd be shocked. But maybe, you know, this is part of that idea that they want to book unique venues. You know, you had mentioned this a while ago. Like, that should be their thing. Keep booking unique venues.
It would be cool. And plus, like, I think going by the reaction to Eddie Kingston's go-home speech from Rampage, like, definitely something on their radar, probably. Yeah. And I don't know if they aired it. Probably not. No, I don't think they aired it. Where Kingston basically goes, you know, we planted a flag, but because of everybody who's joined the roster, there's cement around the flag, and AEW runs New York City now. And the crowd went bonkers for it.
It's a very competitive market. Think about how many times both companies are going to be here.
Right.
Right? AEW ran Jersey, WWE ran Jersey, WWE ran New York, AEW ran New York. They're both running 1 week apart. They're running Long Island. Somebody asked me, like, why do they keep going? Why is everybody going to the same place? I'm like, because you want to go into a market where you could guarantee the most ticket sales right now because everything is so limited. So you don't want to go into certain places because, you know, economic issues. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at, okay, where can we make the most money? There's a lot of analytical data that goes into this. And they realize that, you know, maybe you can run New York a couple times too close to each other.
Do you think we're in for, like, another New York explosion of pro wrestling?
Dude, GCW ran shows like every freaking night.
You didn't go to emo? GCW emo?
No, I didn't go to it.
I saw a bit of the karaoke. It looked fun.
I didn't go to it.
Nick Gage sang "My Chemical Romance" is Black Parade.
That's the star.
Or he made the crowd sing it.
That's fantastic.
I do feel like there's like some kind of weird explosion, especially now where like so many people are attending these shows and going to these shows, and you had like a lot of internet personalities there and whatever. Do you think there's going to be a play for the entire city of New York? Because we have, for a place that isn't relatively that big, we have so many venues here.
We do.
Barclays, Nassau, UBS Center, right?
Well, no, we have Nassau also.
Nassau, MSG, Hammerstein for the smaller shows, Terminal 5, Arthur Ashe, Citi Field, LaBoom, let's throw that in there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple, Melrose, that's another one. There's a lot of cool venues, but I think as far as large venues go, I think this is the first time we have, you know, we have a large amount of venues now to use, which is fantastic.
Are we going to the Barclays?
For Survivor Series.
Okay.
Yeah, we're there for that.
I feel like we have to do our due diligence and clue people in on traffic in that area as well. Apart from your Brooklyn rant.
You know, for being such a shill. An AEW shill.
Mm-hmm. We're being paid by both of them.
We're the worst AEW shills because we actually pay for our tickets.
Right.
While WWE comps us constantly.
Yes.
So, that's a great question, Brandon. Add that to the notes, MG. All right, question time. You guys ready? Get your questions ready. Submit them in the chat. the boys are going to put it in the notes so we could answer them. But New Japan also, G1 is currently happening.
I know, man. The poor G1 is not getting any love.
You know what? Yeah. They're in a bad spot right now, but you know, there's nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do about it.
Naito is out, which is terrible. You want to run down the blocks really quick?
A block. So Great Okan is in the lead with 6 points. Zack Sabre Jr., 4 points. Heard he had an amazing match the other day. Shingo with 4 points. Toro has 4 points. Kenta, 4 points. Yujiro Takahashi, 4. Kota, 4. Tangaloa, 2 points. Ishii, 2 points. And Naito is 0, but withdrew due to knee injury and forfeited 8 matches.
And that screws everything up for them.
It kind of does. B block, Jeff Cobb is in the lead with 4 points. Taichi, 4 points. Okada, 4 points. Evil, 2. Tanahashi, 2. Sanada, 2. Tamatanga, 2. Yoshihashi, 0. It's kind of interesting how, like, Minoru Suzuki is carving out his own American legacy right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was dope. Did you ever think you'd see John Moxley, Minoru Suzuki, Lance Archer, and Eddie Kingston wrestling in a match
and Homicide.
Where Homicide saves the day in front of 20,000 people and not in, like, a dirty locker room somewhere out in Staten Island?
Yeah. Fantastic.
Really nuts, right?
Really nuts. All right, ready? Q&A time, boys and girls. Submit your chat questions. Rich will read them, and we will do our best to answer them.
Also, guys, if you want your question read before everybody else, please do not hesitate to use that super chat button. You can super chat anything you want to us, from 99 cents to $99 million.
I would love $99 million.
Frank Gradia, $4.99. Hey, guys, I'm in the hospital, but I wouldn't miss your show for anything. I think both promotions should be pretty happy right now, don't you? Sorry that you're in the hospital. Hope you get better with whatever. He could just be in the hospital.
Just hanging out.
You know.
Yeah. Sometimes I go there just to hang out.
Oh, boy.
Thank you very much. I think both brands are doing well. You know, they're both doing well. And then he also asks, how much fallout do you think will come from the Plane Ride from Hell documentary? I think it's over.
We saw the fallout. Tommy Dreamer got pulled. Flair's commercials got pulled.
Yeah.
You know.
It was 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Well, that's no defense. It's 20 years ago, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're kind of quick to forget when something happened 20 years ago compared to it happening today.
One of the most interesting parts of that documentary was how my wife fell in love with JR, by the way, just at how great he is with words.
Yeah.
And him going, why didn't Ric Flair get punished? Well, that's a good question. I'll just put it to you this way. He was a made guy.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, oh, that's crazy. And then I watched Goodfellas right after that.
Did you? I've seen it like 300 times.
We're going to talk about Goodfellas for 2 minutes
Yeah, go ahead.
So
it's the best movie.
So I get why people don't like gangster movies, but that movie is above and beyond a gangster flick.
It is the best gangster flick.
It is amazing, right?
I think it's above The Godfather.
Yes. You know, when The Godfather's on, I'll watch it for 10 or 15 minutes, depending on where it is, and then I'll stop.
Yeah, me too.
When Goodfellas is on, I caught it as it started the other
day. Yeah, but I recite the lines. Jess and I will do the lines.
Oh, yeah?
By the way, Casino also. Casino and Goodfellas is better than both Godfather 1 and 2.
Say that again?
Casino?
Yeah.
And Goodfellas, both better than Godfather 1 and 2.
Casino's another favorite. I'll watch that all the way through.
And I love The Irishman.
Interesting. I've never seen it.
Dude, it was long, but it didn't feel long for me.
Okay.
I think it's just, you know, nobody has an attention span anywhere. It was a fantastic film.
I got to check it out. One quick thing about Goodfellas that I found this out yesterday while listening to another podcast. The scene with Pesci and Do I Amuse You?
Do I Amuse You? Am I a clown?
Apparently, totally ad-libbed.
Yes, it was. Right? Yeah, yeah.
The guys around them reacting, they did not know that was coming, and they reacted accordingly with their character.
Fantastic.
Like, the one dude was like, hey, you know, he's a big boy, you should have minded his business. You know? Like, all the character actors are just like throwing in their lines.
I like the part he goes, and that's Tommy Two Time, because he says everything twice. I gotta go get the papers.
So good. Yeah. All right.
Very accurate, by the way.
Bob Hayes.
We got a super chat in here too. Damien just hit us with one.
It got added to the list.
Yes.
Damien, what's up? Bob Hazelwood, $5. Your thoughts on the Chris Kanan episode on Dark Side of the Ring?
I've yet to see it.
We have yet to see it. Brandon Charles Powell, $10. Is Britt's wrist healing up? I feel like she should rest and let it heal, but I don't want her momentum to stop. She's on fire. So are you two.
Oh,
keep up
you.
The excellent work.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
Her wrist is still not great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's she's still wearing that thing, so she's going to be wearing it for a little bit.
Damien.
A boy. Damien.
Since we have so much variety in wrestling right now, can you compare this to any other time where there is something for anyone to enjoy and consume?
It's if the territories had national television.
Yes.
I don't think we've ever had a time like this where there's so much wrestling. I actually think there's less now than there would have been if the pandemic didn't happen. I think a lot of these indie promotions will never come back.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people that were on the cusp of maybe, you know, getting a spotlight on them in wrestling, independent wrestlers, that went away. I know a lot of people have retired because they don't feel like they could do much.
Yeah.
You know, I think as far as, you know, television wrestling goes, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
We need some more time to see how this goes. But, you know, we're in a boom. 100% we're in a boom. I could tell you based on ad sales and market research that these networks are doing, we are in a somewhat of a boom again, post pandemic, and it's out. The expectations were far lower.
Yes.
Especially for the attendance for these things. You know, live attendance numbers for, I think, both, you know, anything on TV is doing well.
I agree with that. As far as the time goes, you know where this puts me? Mid to late 90s, where you still had WCW,
ECW,
yeah. WWE, and our bootleg tapes of Japanese wrestling.
Yeah.
You know? That, it reminds me of that, where like now everything's so accessible. We have NJPW World, we have AEW, we have WWE on Peacock and all this stuff. So it's like, it's really cool. And plus all the independent stuff, like GCW has come a long way and they're really blowing up, you know?
Yeah.
I think they're going to start running bigger venues too. We got Hurricane, $2. A real life couple staying together in the draft.
I would, if you're on the like list, then yes.
Yeah. Brandon Edwards, a whopping
$50. Here we go. Wah, wah, wah.
Nothing to ask. Just wanted to be the top Brandon. Who better?
Who better than Brandon?
Thanks,
all
dude.
Right.
Much appreciated. Let's see what else we got.
We got here a bunch of IG questions.
So I'm going to throw, we've never really done the IG stuff, so I'm going to throw these out there.
Cool. You want to do rapid fire?
I'll do rapid fire. Go. I just wish this was bigger so I can effing read it.
Pinch and zoom in.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, my God. All right. Hang on 1 second. I may have just lost
Gemini it. Gemini man, zoom it.
I may have just lost it. Oh, no.
All right. So while you find it, I'll go through the first one.
Okay.
Who had the last pop on the AEW show?
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Bryan Danielson.
You know what it was? When they rang that bell. When they rang that bell, it was a huge pop. But I mean, it was really loud. Everybody got like a really nice response. But definitely, you're right, DB.
Waves.
How was CM Punk's when he came out to Russell?
It was deafening. I was online for water, and I missed like half of it.
Okay, got it.
But I heard it from where I was. Your personal take on Dynamite moving to TBS?
I think it'll be fine. I don't think they're gonna have issues. Maybe they'll obviously have a little drop off for a little bit.
What's going on with Bo Dallas?
I don't know. That's a good question. I can find out, though.
Okay. Let's see. What do you guys think will happen with Hangman and Page?
He should be coming back soon. And you got to figure out where you're going to put him. I don't know if the world title situation picture is the right place for him right now. But, you know, what if he feuds with Miro and gets the TNT title? And have him kind of... Because they really haven't done a good job at... Actually, no, they've done an okay job. I'm thinking, you know, with that secondary title, you know, how do you elevate it into more of a prestigious belt? I think the guys that have held it, it was good that they're holding it, but I think having like a Hangman Page, you know, a babyface holding it and defending it weekly on TV would be a nice, nice change of it.
I'll agree with that. What is your reggae level today?
Oh, my reggae is like out of this freaking world. It's like a 55.
Good reggae. I do like doing the Saturday morning shows.
Me too.
Joey Janela contract status.
He's there. I thought it was a 3-year deal.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Will the Mad Men be at Survivor Series?
See.
Andrew and Rich's duo Halloween costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Kiss.
You want to do Kiss?
Yeah, let's Kiss.
Let's do Kiss.
All right, you don't sound too thrilled with that.
No, I'm okay with that.
Do you want to do different versions of...
You know, I don't like Kiss. I'm not a big Kiss fan.
I'm okay with Kiss.
I'm okay with... I get it.
Do you want to dress up like AC/DC or something?
We should dress up...
You want to dress up like Billy Joel?
You want to dress up like Billy Joel? You just want to be two Billy Joels just here?
A couple of Billy Joels. Is Rich my Twitter boyfriend? Yes. If Rock can't make Mania, what would the plan be?
I don't know. Maybe Lesnar. I don't think it's Lesnar. I don't know what the plan would be.
Okay. We got a good one here. We're going to jump to the Twitters now. If you guys had Tony Khan on the show and he asked you for advice related to AEW moving forward, what advice would you give him? It can be creative, financial, event promoting, etc.
Oh, man, that would be fantastic. That's a fantastic question. You want me to be honest?
Yeah.
I would say that their digital presence needs to be ramped up a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Their social media game, the guys that do the TNT one, they're really good.
Yeah.
But they need to do better with having photos on out there. And I think they've gotten way better at it the last, I want to say, month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Since All Out, they've gotten better at it, but I would say that their digital footprint needs to be better.
Okay. I don't think I'd have any advice for a millionaire.
I could only give advice on something I'm really good at.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't give them advice on booking because I'm not a booker. That's so stupid. Can you imagine we're sitting down with Tony Khan and telling him how he should write his freaking TV?
I feel like people probably do that.
I'm sure they do. You know, I'm sure.
This would be my advice. You ready?
Yeah.
More boobies.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's great. All right. He's going to look at you.
Hard, intelligent pause. More boobies.
You know, and you know what? I guarantee you there are people that actually complain that's their actual complaint.
That's a joke, by the way, guys.
Yeah. I feel like we have to sometimes say that. It's a joke.
It's a joke. I'm not anti-boob. I am pro-boob, but that is a joke. Bob Hazel with $2. Is a booger considered a protein or a carb?
A carb.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. From at Hells Harley, any insight on some of the draft picks for Raw and SmackDown?
I'll probably have it for the next show.
You sent this, it looks like. Or did I screw this up? What? Where it says, at Andrew Zarian, why did you eat the potato?
I did not send that, but why did I'm so sorry I ate the freaking potato.
Did you have a moment where you were outside of yourself and were like, I need to ask myself why I did this tomorrow.
Who wrote this?
Memento.
Who wrote this?
Like a memento moment. Oh, that was from Brain Man 02. It just said Andrew's on top of that.
That's so funny.
Let's see. Are we going to see some surprises in Rochester this Wednesday at Dynamite?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with Bray. But Dave is thinking it's a real possibility.
The Balor Club. Hey, Andrew and Rich, just want to say love you guys. You're my favorite wrestling podcast. Any news on if The Rock is still scheduled for Survivor Series? Hoping to see you guys in Brooklyn.
I haven't asked about it since I first reported it. Mm-hmm. That's what was said to me. All the indicators point, yeah, it's possible, but you know, we still got some time.
Yeah. Let's jump into the YouTube live chats here. All Elite Podcast. Why isn't Andrew dressed like we're headed to the big Italian mafia wedding?
Why isn't he?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to work today.
It's your day off, man. It's my Saturday. Day off.
I dress like a 14-year-old normally when I'm not working.
Absolutely. Iaz Akhtar, the grape.
The grape!
The grape. The grape in shape. Is there any storyline reason why the Inner Circle didn't help Jericho and Hager?
I think because they've kind of separated them a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. That's a good question. I know that Jericho wanted a breakup, but Tony is against the breakup.
Tony Khan.
Yeah.
From Pratik. Hey, Andrew.
Tony from Observer.
Tony from Observer. Yeah. Shout out to Tony from Observer. That guy's great.
Shout out to Tony.
Shout out to Brian, too, from Observer. That guy's also great. I want to wedge myself into like his video game shit that he's doing. from Pratik. Hey, Andrew, what is your favorite Extreme Rules pay-per-view?
I don't think I have one. You know what's crazy? I can't even tell you one that I've enjoyed.
When the Shield debuted.
I guess, was that Extreme Rules? Yeah, I'll do that.
Then. I think that was the end of an Extreme Rules.
Okay.
Another Brandon Edwards. Can you make the Hulu Theater into a wrestling show?
Yes, we've gone to it. This one, actually, here.
Yeah.
That was in the Hulu Theater. The Big Apple Breakdown, 2016.
Honestly, really good venue to see a wrestling show.
It was a weird venue. It was a weird setup, but we had a lot of fun.
Well, I think it's discombobulating because there's no crowd on the other side of the ring. It's just the ring.
Yeah.
And then like the crowd's kind of like an amphitheater style, mm-hmm. like around it. Crown Wolf, Andrew, do you have any idea how WWE ticket sales are doing for the New Year's pay-per-view in Atlanta? I'm constantly checking Ticketmaster and it looks like they have tons of tickets left.
So there's a great Twitter account. Let's see, twitter.com/ it's called Wrestle Tickets, I think. Mm-hmm. Let me pull this. He also has a Patreon that you guys should support because the guy does Wrestle Ticks, I think. Yeah, Wrestle Ticks, T-I-X. He does an update of all the arenas. So Extreme Rules, for example, he posted this 15 hours ago. There's about 1,000 tickets mm-hmm. left that are available for Extreme Rules, WWE Super Show. So you could see, you know, what's available, what's not available. And he updates daily. So I'll give you, here's one. AEW Dynamite and Rampage in Long Island, right? UBS Arena.
Mm-hmm.
The capacity, estimated capacity is 8,851. There's 2,200 tickets available right now. 6,600 have been distributed. 75% of the tickets have been sold. So for WWE, here's the little problem. All right, you ready?
Ready.
Same building. So AEW has a capacity of 8,851.
Mm-hmm.
WWE is doing 7,398. That could possibly be because of stage setup. It could also be because of just they haven't opened up more tickets.
Okay.
Here's the problem. Ticket distributed, right? 2,700. Tickets available, 4,600. AEW, tickets distributed, 6,600. Tickets available, 2,200.
Got it.
This is, this means something. Okay. Now, what does it mean? Is November 29th too close to Thanksgiving?
Interesting.
Is, you know, because they're running the 29th, they're running the 9th. AEW is running the 9th, same mm-hmm. building. You know, we'll see. Extreme Rules, by the way, they have 988 tickets available.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So Rochester show, this only 79% of the tickets have been sold. There's 1,600 available.
Interesting.
All in the upper bowl. So I think those were later releases.
Probably.
Yeah. So Survivor Series pre-sales for if anybody's interested. It's way too early for Survivor Series. Way too early. All right. Okay, continue.
Shin, why is Montez Ford better than The Rock?
Oh, he's great. He has good hip movement.
Do you consider Ricky Stark's Thin Rock?
He's Thin Rock. You know what? Ricochet was a Thin Rock too for a little bit.
Nah, Ricochet don't got the charm.
He used to do The Rock thing.
Montez is charming. Ricky Stark's very charming. Ricochet. Love the guy. Not very charming.
Oh, by the way, the ticket distribution for Grand Slam was 19,079. AEW announced 21,77. 20,177. So,
okay.
It could be AEW announcing people in building mm-hmm. opposed to ticket distribution. So, still very impressive.
You want to do one more question?
Yeah. Are we done?
This is good. I have to get out of here.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a good one. From behind the script, Rich and Andrew. Andrew and Rich, following you on Twitter, and I wanted to know if Fox is going to leave WWE after the failing shows, and if Disney is buying WWE. Which of the companies have been in talks recently?
What shows are failing?
I think it's like fake, quote unquote failing, you know, miserable failings. You know?
No, I think Fox, listen, there's a lot of synergy between Fox and WWE right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say they're unhappy. The ratings, you know, the expectation for the ratings were to be much higher, but we're still in a pandemic.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the story for the next contract negotiation. And maybe if they were to get any break from, you know, losing losing revenue, it would be the fact that people are very understanding about how things kind of fell apart.
Right.
For everybody. And you have to re-strategize, and now you're finally getting back into it. So I think what WWE does within 2022 is going to be very telling on how their content partners are going to be happy, whether or not they're going to be happy with them or not. And here's the other thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
they are, WWE has kind of refocused how they treat the networks, right? You can't have one as an A and one as a B. You have to have them both as A's.
Yeah.
And because there's so much money being dumped into this.
Yes.
So I think now we're seeing more of this kind of even distribution of talent in a way. And you're going to see, listen, is it time that the brand extension ends? I mean, that's the other thing.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I agree with that. We always say, like, it should be tighter, right?
It should be tighter, and the deserving should be on the card. The top of the top, top, top acts need to be on the card, and this is something AEW needs to be careful with because of Rampage. You know, you did purposely take away from Dynamite to make Rampage better for that building. It didn't matter for the people in the building, but it mattered for people watching at home.
Right, right.
You could have had it be a better show. You had to, by design, make it less of a better show and do the best that you can just so you can move people to a different side.
Right.
WWE, you know, they've done this for the last, you know, 20, almost 18 years. 15, yeah, 18 years they've been doing a brand extension on and off. So,
oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, I think the best way to do it is that the champions are on the brand that the title belongs on. I'm sorry, the champions travel,
work both shows,
and everybody else could be a hard split.
Yeah,
but the champions should be allowed to go on both brands and defend their titles on both brands.
The champions should be able to go anywhere.
Yeah,
yeah. I've always agreed with that. You know what, let's do a couple more.
All right.
Just because, like, we got a couple of fun
sorry
ones.
Rich, I totally no. spent too much on that.
No, it's fine. Well, Treehouse Vince, are we doing a watch along tomorrow?
Yes
pal. From Pratique, Andrew and Rich, is there any chance Finn Balor wins the Universal Championship?
Say that again.
Andrew and Rich, is there any chance Finn Balor wins the Universal Championship?
I would say no. Unless Brock costs. Ooh, hold on.
Right.
Brock costs the title, the match. Now you have there's no title on the line for the Saudi show. You could have Brock beat Roman.
Mm-hmm.
You could have some sort of schmoz with no title on the line, and then you could have at the next pay-per-view, you could have Roman win back, or the next week, Roman win it back.
I wouldn't mind seeing Balor get that belt again. And also, I want to see, this is for me, I think you'd get entertained too, I wouldn't mind seeing a yell-off between Roman and Brock. Like, Roman does his, like, ooh-ah, and then Brock does, like, his weird, like, scream. His weird mountain man scream.
Yeah. You know, one part of the story, and I don't know why they haven't said, is that Balor never lost his title, Universal title.
Right.
He never lost the Universal title. He won the title and he had to give it up. And you know what? That changed a lot of the trajectory in that company.
It really did.
That, you know, I truly believe that that's the reason that Balor losing that title correlates to Goldberg winning it.
100%, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Because it was Balor, then that schmoz finish was Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And then that 2-minute Goldberg match, right? Yeah. Really weird. All right, last one.
Yeah.
This is from Iaz, Grape.
The Grape.
Who is your favorite wrestler, and why is it Hook?
He's fantastic. He's such a little shit. I love him.
What love that Hook. Like, Hook was over.
Hook was over. People love him.
Hook was over. We also, you know what we also didn't talk about? Miro coming out and destroying Sammy Guevara.
I didn't see that.
Sammy Guevara came out with a bunch of, like, his place cards, and Miro destroyed him and Fuego del Sol.
Fantastic.
Let's
do one more, and then we could wrap it.
Why is the WWE champion not on the Extreme Rules show?
Because it's WWE. Is that a good answer?
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
Are you hooked on Hook?
I am hooked on Hook.
Somebody posted a thing yesterday. I think it was Ron Reinius. If Ibushi fought Hook, every single person would question their sexuality.
Brandon says, "Do you know when exactly the TBS Women's title will officially do? I would say when they go on TBS.
Yeah. And when could that be? By the end? Not before the end of
January,
the year.
Right? Okay. Don't they go in January?
Are you watching Roads to the Top?
I have not. I'm gonna watch it though. Yeah. Have you watched it?
No, I gotta check it out. I gotta set my DVR for it.
Yeah. All right, I think we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
I think we're done. All right, guys. Love each and every one of you. Thank you for joining us. I am gonna go take my kids to lunch.
Where are you going?
Yeah, we're going to Bell.
Very nice.
We're gonna go to Press 195 here in Queens.
195.
Anything I got to plug? Let's see. I'm doing a podcast with Rob Fox tomorrow. We're going to be doing Extreme Rules Watch Along tomorrow. So join us. Listen, it's a lot of fun. If you've never joined us for the Watch Along, we pretty much have a couple drinks and we just shoot the shit and we just get silly. Mm-hmm. And it's not like a typical show. It's very loose and we're just hanging out and talking to you guys. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh, we're going to get loose.
We're going to get loose in the caboose. I think that's it. All right. See you next time.
Later, guys.
Later.